Hey, everybody. This is Kev O'Donohue with Ben Starr.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Ben. Back with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests. Try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And we have guests, and we are excited for today's show. We are returning to our shows on women. Let's make this a year of women and men. Last year was women. Anyway, it's just a thought. We have Linda Vanella, longtime associate here at the Positive Mind Center, formerly the DeMille Center, and therapist, mother, healer?
I'd say so, yes, yes.
A creative woman all around.
Yes. Thank you,
and
Kevin.
We have, thank you.
Thank
and
you
we
so
have
much.
Laura Mancini here. Laura, you do everything. Laura yes. is a doula.
Yes.
What's a doula?
A doula is a person who comes to a mother after she's given birth. And helps with mothering the mother. That's what the word doula means. And I'm a postpartum doula, so I work with women after they've come home with the baby.
Wow. You know, we did a show with Paige Pellenbaum of the Motherhood Center recently, and with that concept of working with mothers when they go home, who works with mothers when they go home?
That's right.
We thought it was a fascinating concept, and I was curious about you know, how much of that goes on and why men don't get some of that? Or do they? As a doula, do men get any attention from a doula?
Absolutely. Doulas teach dads how to diaper and how to hold the baby and let go of some of that fear that a lot of men may have with they're going to break something or not do something correctly. Definitely. Bring the family together as a unit and create a bond as a family unit.
And is it fair to say you teach fathers how not to have to fix everything?
Oh, absolutely. They don't have to solve every problem. They can just be there and be sort of strong enough to hold the space for all the emotions that are going on during the postpartum period.
So we're going to talk more about that and what's it like to be a woman, because we've never really put that question out there. But I did want to finish that Laura also teaches art, and you also are a mother of two young boys, young adults.
Young
They're
adults.
Not boys anymore. And you are legally blind.
Yes,
so
I am.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So, yes, we are going to talk about women today. You know, is it the year of women this year? Or was it last year? Or should there be a year of women? Why not? But I think men have to be part of it, and we can get to some of that. You know, a record number of women are in office, in political office. More women are becoming mayors of towns and cities. We have more women running for governorships than ever before and winning. So women's voices and women's personalities, women are rising, and this is a good thing. Can we rise together? Can we rise together?
Rise together we will, for sure. The more we can look at and listen to one another and see the value of doing that, the connection becomes so very powerful, and we come away from the ranking and we connect in a way that we then can complement one another, enhancing whether this is the year of the woman, Kevin, or the male. I think it's the year of the person, of the human, of the ability to do a hashtag Me Too for all of us, for all of us together. And I think only through doing this kind of work could we actually begin to understand the importance of it and the power of it and the significance of it. So I am really honored to be here, honored to begin this series, and I've been working on this for some time, and I know the time is now, and we're all ready, and there's a new dawn. And with Laura having brought in her birthday pie for all of us today, with a happy birthday to all of us, I'd say this is the year, the day, the month, the moment of us all.
Love it.
To be here to be connected. So I'm honored to be
here. I love the idea that we can create this together, that we can create a reality with each other, for ourselves first, and then for each other in our society second. And often we like to find out, well, what's preventing it? What has been in the way? What are the obstacles? Right now, we're seeing, you know, women's natural strengths and beauties coming forward, especially when they gather together.
Yes.
But what's held it back?
I think fear has held it back, Kevin. I think that, you know, we primarily, you know, we're survivors. We're humans. And, you know, as Armand would always say, we either eat or we be eaten. You know, he'd go back to the very nature of the beast.
Yeah.
And I think there's some significance to that. I think that, you know, we come up in the ranks and we, you know, we kind of find our spot. And I think that, you know, the physical male has been stronger. And physically, and I think that it's been based upon survival. And I think that it's been no fault or blame or shame of anyone.
Right.
I think it's a natural, almost evolutionary process. And I think as evolution does, it presents different kinds of challenges, I dare say obstacles, but challenges. And it's
sure.
only through those challenges that we can grow and change and evolve into perhaps a new dawn, a more progressive, more well listened to, and an ability to really be in our fullness, both male and female, and not be having to rank or in any way be less than, so that we can all be a hashtag Me Too together.
Right.
And in that sense, I think that we all could be better listened to and better listeners for each other.
Mm. Laura, do you think it's fear that's held women back?
I think living in a patriarchal society changes the way girls see the world. You know, they have an idea that this is the way it's supposed to be and this is what it is. And how do I fit into that? You know, how do I navigate the patriarchy? Do I become like a man? Do I, you know, dress like a man and get the salary and the position that a man would get? And then what happens to that receiving part, that inner knowing, that trusting?
What about girls?
What about girls?
You know, I mean, what world do they see? And do they see that it's still a patriarchal society? And when will that change? And
it's changing now.
It is changing now, but it's kind of slow, isn't it?
Well, Me Too has brought everybody out there. I mean, there's not one woman that hasn't had some kind of experience. I don't know anyone who hasn't.
I do want to say a little bit more about that. As you mentioned, Laura, very accurately, the patriarchal society. I think when we talk about why have we held ourselves back or have been held back, I think it's a combination, as I say, of fear, patriarchal society, but trust. I think that inner space that you just mentioned, Laura, is so paramount. And it's a space that hopefully now with our new dawn and our hashtag Me Too and our people like Oprah coming out, I think we're allowing ourselves to explore that inner space of ours so that we can better trust ourselves. And in that so doing, we eliminate that fear. We take a better chance of validating those feelings that we have inside of us and not feel privy to have to be a survivor and have to kind of dodge the bullets, but be more open, more honest. And I think that's what someone like Oprah has done for us. And I think that a space like here enables that too, Kevin, and I thank you for keeping that space here, because I think it's in a space like this that we can all learn to be better at trusting our feelings, trusting who we are, and coming to better understand ourselves, not only emotionally, mentally, spiritually, but really getting into that space inside of us that we can explore why has it evolved so that we're in this spot, this space today. It's really not... it really just takes a little bit of exploring and conversation, such as here. And if I may, just simply
sure.
want to explain this one incident that just recently happened within the last day, and perhaps that would give a little personal explanation of how easy it comes to a place where we don't trust ourselves. It's a female partner, friend of mine, a significant friend of mine, who had an experience. She's living, she works in a very male-dominated profession.
Mm-hmm.
And so her everyday experiences are she's working for a male, and she's a very good worker. She really puts her heart and soul into her work. And so it came time for her asking him for a raise, and he said no, he would have to wait because he had to see about other people and other decisions that had to be made. However, the fact remains that he had promised this woman a raise 6 months ago. So when she called me, I found it interesting that she first said, well, I'm really not feeling so well. I'm so out of sorts. And right away I said, you know, I could feel she was just really upset. And she said, well, you know, I know it's menopausal. I know it's premenstrual. And I know. And I, okay, well, what else is going on, you know? And it took a while for her to even actually describe the situation. I said, well, do you think maybe it has to do with you just simply being angry at the feeling that there's some little bit of injustice here? And why is it so difficult for you to be able to even say that? And she immediately began to emote and say, I don't know. I mean, can I say that? And I said, yes, you know. And so it was simply a partnership of she and I, of me being a listener without jumping on blaming anyone or taking the ranking role that we oftentimes do and say, you know, maybe it would be best if you simply go back and confront and speak to and have a conversation with to explain the situation as you feel it and allow yourself to be able to feel it first and then be able to discuss it. And in fact, she did. And it wound up to be a wonderfully closed experience where she just wrote me back saying that the meeting was satisfactory and everybody was fine. Wow. And I think that it's those situations that happen every day that build up. That oftentimes women will say, you know, I can't speak on the job, I have no power on the job, and we grow into this sort of mentality that may or may not exist, but certainly feels like it does because of these everyday, very unconscious decisions and choices and conversations that happen.
I think there's a prohibition against anger. In general, for women, I know my experience as a therapist with women that once they access their anger and are allowed to access their anger, real or imagined, it certainly opens up a channel for them to see a situation a little more clearly and to feel the empowered feeling. But so the sequence is a woman will find fault with herself first.
Yes, because I think girls have been taught, you know, when they're young, you know, you're not supposed to get angry. You're really not supposed to raise your voice. You don't want to act like a boy. You don't want to act aggressive. You don't want to. So those feelings become, do I have to act? What about what I feel? And that isn't even really discussed in most homes that I know of. I think that history, thank God, has come a long way. And I think that I see the difference in my own family, my grandmother at 104, my mom at 91, me at 65, and my daughter at 36, raising her three boys, allowing them to really have feelings, you know, really be validating them. And I thank her that for that every day because she's really grown from everything. So without, you know, I say that I know that there's a lot of new dawn, and I think we're all learning a lot. But for both men and women, to validate anger, I think, is paramount. Very important.
Laura, I want your input on this in a second, but we are going to take calls right here because you're talking about voice, I think, that women doubt their voice.
As Oprah said, this
and
is the
some
time for our
story,
voice.
You know. We'd love to hear some stories of people. Do you think this is true? Do women quiet their own voice? Have they traditionally quieted their own voice? Have you quieted your own voice? And I think what the movement is doing, okay, we're in a transition. Okay, we have something that we fought against that was wrong. Now women are trusting, after 30 years of keeping their own quiet, their own secret, have found a way to give voice to something. And they're starting to trust themselves and not find fault with themselves. So we want to hear your some calls, right, ladies? 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. Do you know women that have quieted their own voice? Have you been a woman who's quieted her own voice? Are you raising a daughter who you are teaching not to quiet her inner voice? Does she look up and see just a patriarchal society and is compromising herself already? That's what I love about Down on Wall Street, that mm-hmm. that little girl who challenges the bull. Mm-hmm. You know that statue
yes.
down there?
Yes.
Yeah. Fearless.
The fearless little girl, right? Mm-hmm. Are we raising fearless girls now, and why not? Why
Absolutely.
Shouldn't we?
And are we raising fearless boys?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are we raising fearless boys?
That can
boys?
Have their feelings.
Right.
That can be
Say
strong enough.
That. Yeah.
That can be strong enough to be vulnerable. Mm. To be strong enough to be open and hold the space for anything that shows up. To cry.
Right.
Yeah. You're a mother of two boys.
Yes.
Did you raise boys that way? To
Absolutely.
Be able to cry? Your boys can
Absolutely.
Cry?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
What a gift.
We
a
had
gift.
A little poster in their room, and it had all the feelings on it. And they'd say, they'd be crying. They would, you know, have a situation, and they were crying. And I would take the poster out and say, okay, which one is it? Point. And they would point.
Is that right?
So, oh, you're feeling sad? Somebody to validate your feelings, to create a safe place. To show support, to show that I see you, I see what you're going through. You know, it's one thing to say I love you to someone, but do they feel love? Do they feel
yeah.
that support that is there?
So your boys are not afraid of fearless women.
Oh, absolutely not. They're
Bring it on.
They are definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
No.
Why not? Welcome the strength.
Yes.
Welcome
and
the strength
think,
of a woman.
And I think that if men embrace their feminine or their yin side or women embrace their yang, you know, if we embrace both sides of ourselves, then we can be there for each other and watch each other shine.
Yes. You see, that's why we're doing this series. You know, Armand DeMille did a series on men that we're trying to bring to you to somewhere down the road. Because, you know, it was just brilliant stuff about men and how men are not in touch with their feelings. Men are betrayed. We've betrayed ourselves. Our parents, our fathers, our society has betrayed men. That we are in fear, that we act out of fear, that that's our dominant emotion. And we're not welcoming fearless women. We're afraid of fearless women. Yeah,
that,
you know?
I think that's also part, and we see that in history, Kevin, that, you know, they were put to the stake. They were called witches and killed, and, you know, so we've seen that along the way, and I think that has also kept us quiet.
Really?
Because we've seen that when women do rise, oftentimes they get themselves into a lot of trouble. And, you know, whether it's martyrdom or whether it's you know, witches and, you know, all kinds of superstitious things that happen. They've been crimes against women. So I think the female has decided she better kind of join forces. You know, it's like you either, you know, join them or they join you. But I think it's really a matter of the ranking rather than the connecting, Kevin, that keeps us in an inability to be able to trust ourselves.
Say more about that. What is ranking?
Sure.
Well, I want to say the number again, 212-757-5555. We'd love to take your calls. We have two women here, experts at being women. And, you know, what is your experience of voice and access to your voice and trusting your own voice and seeing women that don't trust their voice and how we can help them, how you can help girls growing up now to trust their voices? You know, are schools teaching girls to trust their voice? Are they? What do you think, Laura? You're a teacher.
I was an art teacher for 13 years. I had 900 mm-hmm. students. And at one point, I was at two schools. I had 900 kids. And, you know, if a boy didn't do well on a math test, the teacher would say, well, maybe you just weren't paying attention that day. But if a girl didn't do well, the teacher might say, you're not good at math, as an overall statement that's
really?
Going to live with her forever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's more about her being a girl than the actual academic subject,
I've had clients like that. I mean, totally crushed, totally you're not good at that, and they changed their life's direction because of a teacher, somebody
Absolutely.
Saying that, you know, maybe you should think of another field. Although that's done to boys too, and
Absolutely,
men but it's a crushing thing to do and to say, especially with girls who, you know, are stepped down because they're looking at their society and thinking, okay, what am I, you know, how do I fit into this?
Exactly.
What do I have to do to succeed in this?
Exactly.
I'm not getting any encouragement to be a mathematician.
Right.
So it's I should follow what people think.
It's changing.
What people
changing
are encouraging.
Now, though. It's changing
Is it?
Now. STEM schools and schools that are promoting engineering, girls going into engineering, It's definitely changing.
Engineering. That would be a good place to check. How many engineering women in engineering are there nowadays?
Very few, but they're coming
But they're
up.
Climbing. Yes. Yeah, they're climbing. They're climbing rapidly. And, of course, in all the fields, I think in science, in law, and politics, we see, you know, that women are obviously gaining more positions and they're getting better educated, so they're owning more land. So we do see sociologically how women have made great progress. I think right now what we're looking at is, as Oprah is so well defined, is listening to our own voice. And I think that's what I would like to see more of in not only this series, but in the work that we're doing here, is for people to not only get better jobs, and but to get a better sense of who they are internally and that they can express those feelings. So just to step back, Kevin, you said, well, you want to hear more about that ranking. I think that's very powerful, because it's really back in the year 1, 2, and 3 that all of these voices, as you well said, Laura, when a child is in school, those impressions of people, well, you're not good at math or you're not good at English, but it's really that 1, 2, and 3 year of age where the child has all of these unconscious roles imposed upon that child. So not to say that we can't change that, but it does have to, it does take a conscious development of work.
Let's take a quick call. We have Betty on the line. Hi, Betty.
Hi.
Hey, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
What's your experience with this, Betty?
Well, I was going to say, show me a family, show me parents who are raising their children in this day and age, and I'll show you $1 million. Because people aren't raising it. When you raise something, you're grooming it, training it, et cetera, et cetera. The young people in this country are being raised, the computers, the cell phones, the money, the drive to get cash, loot, and all this kind of thing here. What you look like, your hair, your makeup, and all this kind of stuff here is what's raising these kids, being thin, all this obsession is what's raising our children. It's like the commercial that comes on TV where this woman, she's talking about how the snow blew up again, and her voice is so calm. The snow blew up against my the thing, causing the exhaust to such and such. I was raised in the 60s. Teachers were very calm, and I wanted to be a writer, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like my family didn't cultivate me to do it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I wasn't, you know, they didn't sit me down. What are your dreams and your aspirations? So a lot of my dreams got forfeited.
Okay.
But so as far as raising children, you have to, and even now in my old age, when I saw that commercial, the way that this calmly as the woman was talking, it brought back memories of storytelling and the old school stuff. And as an old woman, it soothed me. It soothed my conscience. And so that's why I'm saying that nowadays we're not raising our children. It's all these gadgets and everything that's raising them.
Yeah.
We have to get back to the old way of sitting them down at the fire and talking to them and nurturing them and loving them and all that other garbage, all the electronic. I'm not saying electronics.
Do you have children?
Bad.
Betty, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
How many?
Two.
Two. And they can come to you even now, can't they?
Oh, they can come to me with anything. And believe it or not, the younger parents, I'm talking about the ones 30, 40, because that's younger than me, they don't even want to hear. I remember I shared with this lady one time, oh, my son came to me with something I would have never told my mother. You know what her response was? Oh, I don't want my daughter to come to me with, don't come to me with that.
Yeah.
So that's like saying, even if, what if the child was raped or something, you don't want to tell you?
Yeah.
I said, I couldn't believe what her response was. Yeah. Well, I don't even want to hear, I wouldn't want her to tell me her deeper, darker secrets. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And this is the kind of world we live in. It's so sad.
Betty, thank you for getting the conversation going. This is perfect. We're going to take you off the air, and Linda's going to respond. We're going to have to go to a break shortly. But thanks for calling us. This is perfect.
You're welcome.
Yeah, be well. You have a story about this.
Yeah, let me speak to you, Betty. Thank you so much for that question. I can certainly empathize, because being not only a mother of four but a grandmother of 12, and I have 3 out of my 4 children raising children. So I can certainly empathize with your ability to articulate saying the need is to do what I'm sure you did with your children and I tried to do with my own, and that is to spend quality time. I think we get a little bit confused sometimes and a little bit bewildered by the extent of this technological world that we were not used to. And I know my own children have a lot of those called gadgets. But I think that, you know, we have to remain somewhat positive in that it may not be exactly the way we see it, but I know in my heart, and I know your children would do the same, to raise their children with the same love and quality of time that you raised your children. And I'm doing the same with mine, and my children are doing the same with theirs. But the world of technology today does throw us off. And I know when I'm with my son and his children, you know, his mother-in-law was there and said the same thing to me. Oh, my goodness, there's too many iPads and there's too many cell phones. And yet I say, but, you know, it's part of this world that we all have to get used to. But as long as the conversation is kept open and their hearts are open and you've done the mothering you've done, I'm sure those children are going to be fine. So,
Laura.
But thank you for your questions.
I think this is where teachers – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Laura.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think this is where teachers come in and say that they are not only the teacher, they're the entertainer, they're the mother, and after-school programs.
Oh, gosh, what pressure on teachers these
and
days.
And after-school programs are teaching boys and girls how to cook, and they have, you know, movie time, and it's almost like it's a mini home.
Yeah.
So that the kids are there for 12 hours. They go to before school, they go to after school, they do their homework there. And it becomes the only place where they feel safe enough to be home. Because when they get home, there's going to be a lot of chaos, a lot of craziness. And then they get to go on their computers, but not in school. Maybe not in school.
Okay.
Am I still on the line? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you're here.
You know, I was in a train the other day, and there was a woman sitting there waiting for this lady to bring her son to her. I think she just got off work. So as soon as the little boy approached the mother, Mommy!
Yeah.
Her first response was she pushed him, tie your sneaker. That was her first.
Yeah.
Instead of kissing him, she pushed him and tie his sneaker.
Exactly.
So when they got close to me by the bench, I said to her, he kept looking at me, so I kept smiling at him, giving him a big cheese smile.
Yeah.
And then I said to him, don't pay no mind. She's just too busy. She forgot.
Good
That's
for
what I,
you.
She heard me say that, and she could have shot me, stabbed me, or anything, but instead, she kissed him.
Good for you.
Yes.
Betty, wow, that's beautiful.
Betty listen to this. Listen to this little story Linda has to tell about when you had a woman say that your husband or your man is not going to help you. Well, say a little bit about that.
That was an interesting part of
because I think Betty can relate to this.
Yeah. You know, that's knowing our own power as a woman, Betty, and you can see you've got that. So I thank you for that, and we need more of that from you. So especially in this world, when I was in a situation where someone I know was giving birth to her child. And the midwife had said, had sort of confronted her and said that, you know, she was very, her husband at the time was not very much keen of her having this baby at home. And so what the midwife did was to say to her that was she able to kind of pull the power from within her to be able to kind of detach and not depend upon the need of another, be it her husband or anyone else, to birth her child, that she would be, you know, she would be okay. And it was an opportunity for this woman to really realize the wealth that she has. And I can hear it in you, Betty, that you've got that. So I thank you for your question. I thank you for your calling in. I thank you for your time. And I would just say, keep going, girl. Keep that hugs going and keep those looks going. Thank you.
Thanks, Betty.
Thank you, Betty.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Betty. 212-757-5555. That's the number to call today. We are going to be taking a short musical break, and we'll be back shortly after this with more of your phone calls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything gonna be all right. Oh. Years old, I couldn't do nothing.
make love to a crocodile. I'm a woman. I can sing the blues. I'm a woman. I can change old and new. Spell W-O.
Coco Taylor here on The Positive Mind on 99.5 FM WBAI. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday talking about ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. And today our guests, Linda Vanella and Laura Mancini. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you, Ben. You're
welcome. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for that song.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
It's fearless. That's a fearless woman right there.
Yeah, woman. The
joy. Oh, Coco, fearless. Coco Taylor is,
she sure is.
Fearless.
She sure
she's enjoy. Yeah, you know, she's enjoying
yeah.
being a woman. That's
oh,
for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Listen, we're getting lots and lots of callers. We appreciate the calls. We are backed up. Ben, go ahead.
Let's take a quick caller. We have Walter on the line. Hello. Walter, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, Walter.
Hi, Walter.
Hi. I want to kind of take the what was said by the last caller, I think it was Betty, really brilliantly,
mm-hmm.
when she spoke about how the root of this really is parenting,
yeah.
and say that the other thing that compounds it is the behaviors. You were talking about that kind of early developmental stage. I was a Montessori teacher. I worked with 3 to 6 year olds.
Mm. Beautiful.
And I was a male teacher with very young kids, which was a very unique situation.
Yes, very rare.
Part of why I was hired was that all the boys had ADD.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Statistically impossible.
Right.
But that's
right.
because the school behaviors at that age are such quote-unquote girl behaviors.
Mm.
Be still, be quiet,
right.
do your work attentively,
right.
you know, play nice.
Interesting.
Not that boys are incapable of it. I'm not taking anybody off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
But to say if that's your gold standard, that doesn't assist young individuals learn that they have something to express, and you played a beautiful song, and there's a line in a different one by KMFDM called Dogma
mm-hmm.
that kind of goes to Betty's point a little bit, where it has a line that says, you want to be famous and rich and happy, but you're terrified. You have nothing to offer this world, nothing to say, and no way to say it.
Mm.
Yeah. We're teaching kids that.
Mm.
When they're taught to a standardized test, and I know it's a whole other subject,
yeah.
But when you're given the right answer and then asked to parrot, that doesn't teach that you have a voice.
But then I would make the point for arts programs and music programs.
Absolutely.
Where people can get, children can get to express themselves and have
Absolutely.
A safe place where they can have their voice, express who they are, and not, you know, color in the lines. They can paint and draw. And I've had so many students who would look at me and say, I can't, but I can't draw. Yes, you can.
Right.
Everybody can.
It's well made. Well made point. And thank you for that point.
Walter, why did you leave? Why did you stop teaching?
Ultimately, some of it was different opportunity came up. But like most private schools, there were personality conflicts.
Okay.
The same director that wanted me in the classroom, knew I was a great asset, literally went after and recruited me. When bringing families through to visit the site,
mm-hmm.
My wife also worked at the school at that time,
yeah.
would not talk of me as a teacher, but would say, he's the husband of another, one of our teachers who liked to work with the kids.
Ouch.
So, you know, in this, maybe in the first couple months where you've got older parents who don't know me or whatever, that's one thing, but rather than say, look, he's added a great energy into our classroom. Yes, it's not what you might expect, but it's been a wonderful thing for the kids, which is things that the parents would say to me towards the end of the year. It was really great having your energy in the classroom, working with my son and my daughter as
yes.
an example.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
So that, great, it honestly started to make me feel weird about what I did.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Do you have kids? Do you have any kids of your own?
Yes, I have two kids, a daughter who's graduating college, with great grades, who's been brilliant ever since she was little, and a son who entered the Culinary Academy.
Fantastic.
Who is really kind of finding his own pace in a kind of more non-traditional
A
setting.
Great chef in the working.
Yep. Well, I mean, he's got that science mind, and his concern was going to culinary school might mean he'd have to give that up.
Oh, no.
But
oh,
yeah. The great thing about it is there's just so many wonderful things going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, we looked to help them both
great.
Set their right. own path.
Great.
And figure out what would satisfy them. And make
conscious
them
conscious parenting.
Conscious parenting. Thank you,
Walter,
for that.
Thanks
Walter,
thanks for the call.
Great example.
Call us again.
I will.
Thank you,
Be
Walter.
Well. Bye-bye.
Take care.
212-757-5555 is the number to call.
Yeah, so
good
men,
points.
Men mm-hmm. in the classroom for young kids. It's a very,
very
rare thing, isn't it?
How many preschool teachers
yeah.
are men?
I have even heard people say that they don't want their children, male or female, in a preschool to be with male teachers.
Why is that?
Why?
Well, I think there's also uncertainly some mistrust.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some stigma,
right.
Some
right. Sexual,
some sexual,
yeah.
you know, predators kind of thing.
Hmm.
You know, that I think that comes up, and it comes up for people, especially those who have perhaps experienced some kind of trauma in their life. So I have heard that
right.
before.
No, it makes sense.
Many
it's
times.
Sad. It's a very
yeah.
sad thing,
yeah.
you know, because I think statistically the proportion of predators or
mm-hmm.
sexual predators or otherwise is really, really, really very small.
Right.
But
right.
it stigmatizes the whole male population.
Unfortunately.
From doing a job that is incredibly needed,
mm-hmm.
both on for the man and for the children.
Absolutely.
To be exposed to another man in their school.
Absolutely.
And not just one man at home. I think is really important. But so then this is a sad thing.
Let's take a caller. We have Maria on the line. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Maria.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Hi.
Hi. So go ahead. How does this affect you, Maria? Are you a mother?
Yes, I am a mother. Uh-huh. I have two daughters. They are already grown up.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So...
Go ahead.
No. So you have two daughters. You can probably educate us a lot about this idea that a woman's voice is often stifled or muted, and that now we're going into a time when maybe that's where we're losing, you know, we're giving that up and women are actually finding their voice.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that, you know, the way that women can make a difference now these days is by learning how to communicate themselves in an appropriate way. My first language is not English, but I have been able to develop, you know, myself in expressing correctly in the English language. My name is Maria. That you can tell that I'm Hispanic. And I think that communication is a great tool for any woman, no matter where you are from, no matter what is your background. I mean, if you know exactly what do you want and you have that self-confidence to speak up for yourself, to let your voice be heard about the ideas that you have, about the needs that you have, then you are really developing something that is meaningful. And you are, as a mother, you know, you are letting your children know something very important about themselves. You know, they are my daughters. They're females. I am a female. So when they see mommy, you know, speaking, you know, in an appropriate way with self-confidence and letting, you know, everyone know, I mean, what is the thoughts that I have, that is making an impacting change or something very meaningful impacting in their lives. I know that.
So by being positive, a
positive role model for them.
You've been a good model for your daughters because you're very clear when you speak. How about vulnerability? Are you able to be vulnerable?
Can you be more specific in the question, please?
Yeah, I mean, how about, are you married?
No, I'm single.
You're single. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, like, where you get to share your hardships, where you get to share when times are tough or difficult for you.
Well, there are a lot of things available now, you know. For example, I mean, a woman can learn how to relax, how to meditate, how to take advantage of the knowledge of how to use the energy.
Yeah. No, but Maria, but I'm talking about feelings.
Of feelings?
Yeah. And sharing your feelings.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, like, it's everything is rational, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, if you rationalize things, everything, you know?
I know.
You would have no reason to feel, I mean, to give so much importance of, you know, things that don't go the way that you think are supposed to go.
Yeah.
Because things are always the way they are. And never the way they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So once you see reality, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, once you see reality, and once you see the big picture, you can understand things better.
Yeah.
And with time, you know, maturity, experience, and, you know, everything that a woman overcomes with time, that gives her more strength, more power, more self-confidence. You know, to face anything that can come up.
Maria, thank you for this call. What I want you to do now is to
thank you so much.
No, don't hang up. Stay with us, because I just want you to listen to two women telling you the value of vulnerability and feelings for women. And I think I think it'd be good for you to hear this, Maria. Can you say something about not always being rational and being vulnerable and being and being feelings? It sounds like Maria is like a great model for her kids.
Absolutely, yes.
I think there's value, Maria, in actually feeling things. So go ahead, Linda. Linda talk.
I love Maria. I love what you're asking, and I love what you're talking about. And I
thank you so much for being the role model for your daughters,
because it sounds like you validate them. And like you say, you're showing them a very strong role model. And I thank you, because there's nothing better than that. Words are very cheap, but experience and role model is much more powerful than words. So I thank you for that. I think what Kevin is alluding to is that, you know, we have the whole other piece of us. And you know, obviously you have great faith in God. And so what I hear you're saying is that that's where you derive your strength to deal with perhaps any feelings that may be difficult for you to tolerate. When we talk about vulnerability, we talk about that weakness, that feeling of weakness. It's a feeling of how do I allow myself to tolerate these feelings of maybe isolation or loneliness or sadness or anger or any of the feelings that oftentimes create a little bit of a jump in us, a little bit of an anguish in us, maybe sometimes even despair in us. And I think what he's saying is that that needs to be almost venerated. It needs to be honored. It needs to be accounted for. And what I'm hearing and what you're describing is that what they do in Hawaii, too, it's a wonderful practice where feelings are pretty much left to God. I think there's a belief here that I have feelings, but I don't want to make a story out of it. I don't want to make it a problem. So I'll just let it go. I'll give it up to God, you know, like people say, let go and let God. And it seems like that's working for you, and it seems like it's working very well. But I think that that perhaps could be a conversation so that we encourage your daughters, as you can see, they're very much affected by what you say and how you are, that there is a space sometimes that we can get a little bit like uncomfortable with those feelings, and we learn to avoid them and stay away from them, and oftentimes can miss out on a good part of life that could be very encouraging and very enjoyable. So,
Maria, thank you so much for the call. We're going to try to take one more call if possible.
Go ahead. Okay.
And in that, you know, having that vulnerability, it's hard for me to do that by myself. I need the support of other women. I mean, I'm not. I may not present that to my children that I'm scared, that I'm, you know, that I'm having a hard time with this. But I want to be that pillar of strength for them. But I will gather with other women to find that support, to be able to be myself, and to let all those feelings out. That's where I find my strength as well as in God.
Beautiful.
So say more about that, because she's bringing up an important issue. I think Maria would benefit by being with women. You know, she's obviously a strong role model for her kids. But, you know, it's hard to be strong all the time.
Yeah.
And so what is it about women gathering, women getting together? I mean, this whole women's Me Too thing is women really gathering. I mean, you've had a major gathering 3 months ago, four or 5 months ago.
Yes,
now.
And we're having another
one. And so look at how it's
up.
Blossomed this way. Yes. But, I mean, what about intimately? What about gathering and women? What's important about that?
Yeah, let me speak of that, because that's profound. And I think that's the basis of my work and has been for the last 30 years now. I found very, very early in my life that, and again, Maria, it was experiential. It wasn't something I read. It wasn't something that was told to me. But when women gather, and it could be, actually, my first experience was in Spain when I saw women gather washing their clothes together. I was 15 years old. And I had seen, and you could hear the laughter and the crying and the kids running around, and just seemed to me like, you know, they were having a lot of fun. And on that experience, I came home from Europe, and, you know, I was sitting in the laundry room in this American progress of dealing with an American washing machine, thinking, I think there's something to this. So I really premised all my, as you say, vulnerability, feelings, safe time, safe space, in the collection and the gathering of women together. I have found in my own life that something happens, endorphin, serotonin, of course, it's chemicals. But more importantly, I think it's that vulnerability, that space of safety, that space of feelings, that sacred space of experiential, that sometimes it can't even really be described.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whether it's a laughter, whether it's a dancing together, whether it's touching together, whether it's just speaking or even listening together, something happens. And I think what I call it is a validation. There's an intimate connection. There's an intimate, soulful connection among sisters that I believe takes us all to a very safe, brave, courageous, primal place that I think is just awesome. And I would encourage anyone, especially you, Maria, to join us when we do gather, because I think that it's something that every woman can only know it when they do it. I don't think it's something that you could read about. And sometimes, all too often, people will say, "Oh, I don't want to join." But as you, Laura, if you would speak about, you know, Weight Watchers or any other support groups that women join. I mean, even going to do our nails.
Right.
I don't think it's so much that we want to do our nails, but it's women gathering together.
Yeah.
And even if we're not talking, it seems like, you know, you just kind of want to go. But you see it more and more, and the benefits of that, I think, is just, you know, remarkable.
How do I join?
We'll let you in.
I want to be in.
We'll
you know?
Get you. We'll
I
let
mean,
you
this
in.
Is so
because
it's
men gather,
so rich. I mean, you know,
it is rich.
And one of my questions is: should men feel threatened?
Yes. No.
With women gathering, because it seems like you do find your voice. You find a way to actually be.
Absolutely.
And then you can find your voice and your confidence and your trust and all these other things. And I think men, we don't have really many venues for that to really just be vulnerable. I know. I mean, we have our men's group here.
Right.
And it's rich and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you know, the premise is I don't have it all figured out.
Exactly.
You know, that we men, we walk into a room and say, I don't have it all figured out.
Isn't that a wonderful place
And I'm dropping
to go.
My mask coming here
right.
and
yeah.
just being with other men.
Well,
because
that's
men.
The vulnerability that you're speaking about.
Yes.
That
and
puts us all into a place of connection, that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And it's a safe place.
And it's
to
a
be
safe
me.
Space.
It's
yes.
a safe place that I can be whatever I have to be. And I can speak from my heart and have my feelings. And I can just lay it all out there.
Yeah. Special. It's a special
it's
thing.
Nice.
And it's not that difficult to do.
No.
It's easy
no.
to join a group. It's
and
easy to be part of a group and to create a group. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, for women, it's essential. I think for men, it's essential, too. Ben, we have one more call.
Yeah, let's see if we can get one more call in by the end of the show. We have Teddy on the line. Hi, Teddy. Thanks for calling
yes,
in.
Good
we have 3 minutes left.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Great. You know, you kind of really stole my thunder a little bit as far as, yes, men vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to the receptionist, whereas by women stepping forward right now and seizing opportunities to really actually really get a voice, you know, in a sense, it depends on the perspective a person want to look at this is. Personally, I look at it from the perspective as this is a shedding, you know, this could be a freeing
beautiful.
Also of men.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened to come through women at this particular time, coming into the age of Aquarius,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's that period of procession, whereas a lot of time it gets a little foggy. And there's some bumping and, you know, bumping into the night, stepping on some toes. Now, woman is like, you know, making a precedence right now. And men, this is how I'm looking at it. We can look at it as though this is also freeing us.
Mm-hmm.
You
absolutely.
Know, like you mentioned, yes. And this might be the objective. I don't know, but nobody actually declared it. But this is how I'm choosing to look at it. Because it's one of those things where, when men feel as though we was groomed that we have to have the certain persona as males, many cases it's pressure to perform.
Absolutely.
You know, and this way, psychologically and subconsciously, we do some things that's really out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
We do some things that's really beyond us, and the jailhouses is full of them. Okay,
yes. mm-hmm.
The jailhouse is
yes.
full of them.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy, we're gonna have to stop you, and we're gonna have to invite you.
This is freeing. This is shedding. To be continued, Teddy.
We're going
to
invite you down here to Positive Mind
yes,
Center.
Yes, for sure. You'll have to join this conversation.
Let me know when you let me know.
Okay,
you know?
Teddy. We're going to hold hands. It's a new dawn, Teddy.
Teddy, send me an email, kevin@thepositivemind, and we'll be in touch. Ladies, they're going to be back tomorrow, these wonderful ladies. We have to talk about mothers and womanhood.
To be continued, yes, exactly.
And how can women gather? I mean, we should get something together about women gathering.
Lunch with Linda.
Lunch with Linda and Laura.
Yeah.
Two L's.
Yes.
But I mean, it'd be great for you to be
able
to.
For sure.
But I want to join.
Okay. We'll let you.
You know, I'll be the one guy who's allowed.
Well, there are more men joining yoga classes. It used to be just a female thing. You know, women were just tons of women in yoga.
But I think talking is another thing.
Talking is definitely.
Being yourself.
Talking and listening. You know, listening and really hearing, you know, is what we, I think, need to do a little bit more of, yeah. You know, without judgment, you know, without some preconceived notions, but to really listen with an openness and not jump on the bandwagon when you hear something yeah. that can hurt, you know. I think listening through a heart yeah. and with love, I think that's really where it's at for both males and females, so...
Together we rise.
Absolutely, we and thrive.
So Amen. Turn up your radio uh-huh. and
join us.
Start
tomorrow.
Dancing.
Uh-huh.
Ben, take us out.
Thank you, Linda and Laura,
You're
for being
welcome.
Here. We'll be
Pleasure.
Back tomorrow, same time, same place, 1 p.m. here on 99.5 FM WBAI. Take care.
Amen.